Hello and welcome back to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. This brew has been brought to you by our friends at Dealership Toolkit, Petra Automotive Products, M1 Data and Analytics, BenQ, Fix Ops Marketing, and 321 Ignition. You can get more information about our sponsors, us, some swag, and some Car Guy Coffee by going to carguycoffee.com. Let's brew!
We are back. I'm Phil Ross, the Subprime Bureau.
And I'm Lou Ramirez, the car guy. Woo! And woo, here we go. Take two. We've just got done talking about how important it is that we just get focused on that we're doing a live show, have a good time.
Yes.
And here we are just going ahead and moving with the motions that come to us. But way to adapt like solutionaries, everybody. Right. We are right here having some fun. I mean, the alarms were actually going off this morning.
Yeah, well, as we're pulling up, the alarms were going off. Like, you know, those alarms for like tornadoes and stuff. They're going off letting people know this is the place to come. It's the first of the month. Come here now. Let's buy a car. And it was loud, but it was exciting, actually. I was pumped up to get here with that. It was like, it got my blood going. I was like, all right. Because it was right there. Like, right there. So it was really cool. Man, we're pumped up. The alarm is set. We are ready to go. And we have three superstars. We have three people that are here to talk about culture. And culture is a huge subject right now. There's a lot of problems in the world right now. And culture, whether you're at a workplace, whether you're at home, whether you're at a neighborhood, a community, there's a lot of issues, but we're talking about those things. We're trying to get better at those things, and that's the only way we will be able to get better, right? So we're going to get together. We're going to talk with three people that I know are doing something special in a town of Marion, Illinois. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful here. They got an airport right across, so come fly in, check them out. I promise you guys won't miss. You won't have an opportunity greater than this to have people here that love what they're doing, trying to find ways to make culture better at their store. And, man, they're leading the way. So, Lou.
Speaking of leading the way, we have right here, right in front of this camera, right there. You see her? Right there? This incredible leader is Erica Wells, the incredible Erica Wells.
Big hand. Big round of applause. Yes. So excited to have her in the house. Thank you.
Crazy meeting you here, how the world of automotive can connect completely different aspects of people into the middle of almost nowhere, right? To be able to find ways to be brewing solutions. It's crazy how we can get connected like that. And we do that, and we get welded into incredible, incredible atmospheres that have people that are staples in the community, like our incredible friend Brian. I mean, what kind of a place to be is it that somebody that's as welded can take in somebody that's as nomadic, right? Finding a place with her family to be welded in, right? Has somebody like you to be back here turning the wrenches, keeping the culture going, keep things excited. Welcome him to our cafe,
yeah, right? Brian Evans, my friend. Woo! Welcome to the show. Brian's killing it. I've had some great conversations. I cannot wait to hear him spill some beans today for us, because I know that his special brew that he brings is going to be so caffeinated, because he has a great culture back there with his team. I mean, I've talked to a lot of service managers and heard what they do, and there's some great ones out there, but this man right here, he has a heart of gold. He really cares about each person in there. Man, you want to talk about longevity of people? These people can go anywhere and get a job, anywhere, but they work here because there's a career here. There's an opportunity here, so man, I love having you here. And of course, we have the one, the only, Miss Ashley Church.
Man, welcome, welcome. She is the GM.
Had you on the show a couple times. I've been blessed. Well, welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming and visiting us here.
No, we're honored to be here. This is it's actually just right up the street from us in a way, so we are really excited to be able to get
here. Yeah, like 3.5 hours-ish up the street.
Hey, but so worth-ish, right? So we're excited to be here. We stayed the night, slept great, had some great food yesterday, we're pumped up and had some great conversations. So I know that this show is going to be lit up, so let's get this thing rolling, Lou.
Let's get it rocking. So you all know the deal. And I know that you ladies know, because you've been on the show. And inside of the culture of Car Guy Coffee, we apply 3 F's to keep growing before we get our conversations underway. We start dropping F-bombs. So this is your first time being inside of the cafe with us, forgiving, focusing, and flying. So let's go ahead and kick off some forgive, focusing, and flying as we launch off this incredible solution session. Put it right here. We're going to forgive, focus, and fly. That's right. Okay. On three. One, two, three.
Forgive, focus, fly, and keep growing. That's what we're going to do. Man, we're going to make a change, and we're going to do it right. I'm so excited. Oh.
Hey, Blue, let's get this.
Let's talk about this culture. Mm. This is a subject that a lot of people are curious about. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? I think that there is no one way to skin a cat, but what I do know, it all starts with the top, people at the top, the general manager, people who really want to care. They have to find the people and put them in place that are the right fit for everything. And you have to sometimes wait a little while to be able to get them. You might have to beg them a little bit, right? Say, hey, you're coming, and I'm going to have you come and make a difference. So I'm excited about this. Culture is huge. People are asking, what can we do? I'm going to just throw it up there. What's one of the things, if you say one thing that you need to do, one thing that you need to change right now to make culture better, if you say this is the one thing you need to at least start here, what would it be?
Golly, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we like to say that it's about the people. And it's really about, first and foremost, before we can recruit great people into our organizations, we really have to build that culture within our teams. And, you know, if there's one thing, you know, especially being a GM, that I encourage people to do, a lot of us come up through the variable side of the business. And we really have to recognize that we're one team, we're one vision, we're moving in one direction. And we have to make sure that those techs know that they're valuable, that the people in the detail department know they're valuable. We were talking this morning. I hate the word non-revenue generating employee.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
For any of you who have had to deal with COVID, and let's say you had a COVID outbreak in your office or in your detail department and everyone was out, I promise you, that impacts how we run our business. And everybody here, that's one of our core values, is that, you know, everyone is important to the team and everyone contributes to our collective success. Otherwise, why would we have them here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
so true. People.
There is so much that goes in to getting the right actual beans to brew the right coffee, right? And you have to be selective, right? And you have to be very much so focused on making them better all the way across the board, right? And when you have that kind of a focus, it then brings other people that are grafted into that vision with you, like O'Brien, that can find somebody, put them on a path to not just increase their value here inside of the business, but their value inside of themselves, their value inside of their community, their value inside of their future. Why is it so important that you, when you're taking what Ashley's saying, you're taking that heartbeat, but you're trying to find the right person to put them on a path? Why is it so important that you connect that heartbeat to who it is that you're in front of as you select somebody to do that task you're needing?
Yeah, passion breeds passion. I mean, passion brings passion. If Ashley, for instance, was not passionate about her job, I may be a little less passionate. If Erica was not passionate about her job, probably the sales staff would be less passionate about their job. So passion breeds passion. And if you don't have passion up top here, you're not going to have it down here.
And for those of you that are listening, for those of you that can hear this on the podcast, I just need you to do us a favor, and you all do the same thing. Grab your fist like this and hit your chest one time. Just like that. One time.
Put that in your cup.
It's deep.
Sip on it, man. I'm telling you. It doesn't take a lot of words to be deep. Matter of fact, I think sometimes the easiest words, like passion breeds passion, passion brings passion. Mm-hmm. It's so simple, but it's so true. You know, we sit back a lot of times. We try to make overcomplicate really the core of culture. And it really, to me, to people, passion, love. You know, it's what it is. It all starts with love. I think love, to me, is what you all really have here that's so special. When I walked into the showroom yesterday, I already felt love. They were opening doors for us. We were here early. We got here before your doors even were supposed to be unlocked, but they saw us with coffee in our hands. They saw us, you know, knowing that we're here with smiles, but we brought it and we saw it with them, and they opened the door for us. They got us in. It started with love. And then they had conversation with us. Love. Then when you showed up, you took us around and you introduced us to everyone. Love from everybody in this building. So love to me is where you guys are just bringing it to the next level. It's the people that bring that love 100%. And you have to have passion behind it every single day. I love that you talked about people and you're looking for a lot of people. Because I know that through your search, you and Erica got to become really good friends. Mm-hmm. You had the opportunity to employ her, have her move across the country from somewhere slightly warmer. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got to say, with a lot more food choices, there are no barbecues here, you know, but down in ATL, we all know that food down there is fantastic. There's a lot of great things down there, but culture. Culture will make people move mountains. Culture will, if you find the right one, you will leave the talent you're from. Leave the family there. Bring your family here, your husband here, your children here to a new town in the middle of Illinois, southern Illinois, right? Mm-hmm.
What about culture to you makes you make moves? Makes you make moves like that once you want to move a mountain and say, "Hey, I'm going to come do something big."
The culture of the dealership is the personality, right? If you can think of a store and its personality, not the mood. Moods change. You can have a good day. You can have a bad day. It could be warm. It could be cold, right? But your personality is the essence. So when you think about the culture of this dealership, I like to kind of liken it to my favorite food place in Atlanta, which is Chick-fil-A, right? Oh, okay. Chick-fil-A is an amazing place to eat. And it's a consistent culture,
oh,
right?
Yes, it is.
Whether you're in the drive-thru, whether you're, you know, taking your order at the counter, the culture is the same. So my car is funny story. I haven't even told you guys this, but I was out in St. Louis and my Atlas in the middle of the drive-thru ran out of gas. And I'm embarrassed, right? Because I drove all the way to St. Louis, wasn't paying attention. The light came on and I'm a car person. I'm like, I got some more time. You know, but I got the heat up. I got the heated seats on. Everything's burning. And I forget, and my car runs out of gas in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, which is this tiny. You can't get out, right? I got cars behind me. It's freezing cold, and I'm embarrassed out of my mind, right? Sure. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, what are you going to please help me? And I'm like, I got to ask the guy behind me, can he push me through the drive-thru? Because I'm holding everybody up.
Right.
And when I say I got out the car, and I ran into the store, I said, hey, listen, my car, I had the general manager of the store come out, a couple of employees. One guy behind me gets out, and then five lines of cars, all of them get out, and they're pushing my car through the drive-thru at the Chick-fil-A. And you know what? They give me my food. They say if they need anything, they help me give me a ride to the gas station to put some gas in my car. And I say, this is a culture, right? This is this is who they are. It doesn't matter if I'm in Atlanta or St. Louis. When I'm at a Chick-fil-A, I get that same culture. That's how it has to feel. You know what I mean? It's got to be a consistent nature of where you are, and it doesn't matter if it's in this state or this state or this state. Chick-fil-A has earned the reputation of being able to provide culture. And the reason I moved here is because this dealership does the same thing. It has a personality. You felt it from the first day you walked in. Actually doesn't just take this new sales manager around and introduce them or guests. It doesn't matter if you're in detail or in parts. She takes every single new hire and walks them around the dealership and introduces them to every single person on their first day. Period. How many GMs can you say do that? That's our culture.
The fifth.
I'm not going to say.
Love you all.
I'd like to say all of them do that. I'd love to say all of them do that, but I'm going to tell you, you know, and that's what's so sad. Industry is that all you have to do is be a little bit better than the person next to you, and you will be a monster in this business. But if you're that, if you go to even higher levels, you become great in this business, legendary in this business, and that's what you're doing here. And you're so right. And I love that. And it does start with the top. It starts with people who believe in that, who see that right offhand. And they look for people who feel the same way with passion. You want to bring diversity. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about diversity into a dealership right now. Diversity is key. It's key with everything. I think with any growth, you cannot grow when everyone has the same ideas. Everyone has the same yes to yes. You got to have people who spark each other, who inspire each other. People from different cultures, different walks, different races, different sexes, right? We want to make sure that we have a little bit of all of it that matches up with what's going on with our community, right? So how big is that here? I know that it's a big deal here, but how big is that here? And I'm going to start with you, Brian. And back there in service, I know that when you're hiring, you're looking for diversity too. It's hard. I can imagine.
Well,
now, we think it's hard in sales. I can't imagine trying to get diversity into a service department. So how does that work for you?
Hey, I've got one gal working for me.
Yeah, right.
So she's awesome. Doing a great job.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I mean, hey, if someone's qualified, that's all that counts. I mean, there's no blinders on here. So if someone's qualified for the job, that's the number one key ingredient, of course.
Sure.
But I mean, Ashley has breeded that into the belief of the store that is very, very important. And I know it's important to her and it's important to me.
Absolutely.
So if someone comes in here, it doesn't matter their creed or, I am all about hiring a female technician.
Absolutely.
If someone would come in here and all they have to do,
if you're listening,
you're out there, this is the place to come do it.
If a young lady came in here and she could interview good with me and she had that passion, that special something, I'd be all over it.
That's what that would be.
And so, and that's not the case across the board.
No.
Let me be clear.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not.
And one thing that I think is, you know, important to say, especially when you're trying to change a culture, right? You know, I am from a dealership where my mom is our dealer principal. I'm a female GM. So in some aspects, it may be easier for us to hire more women because of that. We have women leaders within the company, 50% female leadership team. But as we approach 40% women across our dealership in all departments, you know, it's really important for us to recognize how we get there and also how we stay there. And for us, I will never tell a manager to hire someone just because they fit a certain profile or because they're going to help our mix or our ratio. If my direction to our sales managers or to parts or service managers was you need to hire more women or you need to hire a more diverse, you know, group of people, it wouldn't be positive in terms of the dealership culture because people would come in and they would be asking, well, you know, did that person just get a job because they were a woman? Did we just set out to interview? But, you know, when we hired Samantha in our service department, we were talking about this yesterday. We ran two different sets of ads. We weren't finding that we were interviewing a diverse candidate pool. And so that is the core of where I challenge the managers. I don't tell them who they have to hire, but what we do is we say, we're not going to fill a job until we have hired a diverse group of candidates. Sure. When I interviewed for sales manager, I interviewed for probably 6 to 8 months before Erica and I even entertained a conversation, you know, had a search company involved that we ended up terminating a contract with. And one of the things I said is you've not provided us with any diversity in terms of our candidate pool. And we're not going to fill this position until we do that. Mm-hmm. Back in the parts department, we just did the same thing when we had an opening. My manager was in my office saying, Ashley, you've got to let me interview the hire this guy. I know I haven't interviewed a diverse candidate pool, but this is the one. We've got to get this position filled. It's been vacant for 3 weeks. We're dying back here. Please let me make the offer. And I send him back to the drawing board. Hey, what do we have to do if we can't, you know, find more diverse candidates to interview? Lo and behold, we found one and he interviewed her for 2 hours and came back in my office and said, you know what? This is the person. And again, we're adding diversity to the team because of that. And back to Samantha in the service department, we found that we were just getting male applicants to our service advisor ad. So we ran an ad, exact same ad, no changes in compensation, no changes to the job ad, the duties or anything that would be required. The only thing that we changed was the title of the job from service advisor to customer service liaison. And we ran them at the same time. Service advisor generated almost all male applicants. Customer service liaison generated almost all female applicants. Through that, we were able to interview a diverse candidate pool and Samantha was the best choice for the job.
It's amazing. That is the case there. And that's what happens. And that's the thing. Like there's such a stigma and I can understand that women don't want to be part of that culture because men don't want them in that culture. And it's sad, you know? So it's more about not just having, and I love that you talked about that, interviewing a diverse candidate pool. That is magical because you have to find ways to be able to interview a diverse pool of people. I mean, I'm telling you, like, if you're not finding ways, if you're just resting on what you always do, then you're going to keep getting the same results. That is insanity to me. So we have to grow. We have to change it up, mix it up, interview a diverse candidate pool. And I love that. And make sure that you guys put that into your cup and sip on that too, because that's something if you're not doing right now, if you're just resting on, oh, this is all I can get in here. Well, find ways to get other people, other mindsets in here. Use different mindsets. Talk to other people. This is great. This is great stuff. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
As far as diversity, I mean, people say it's a melting pot, but it's a gumbo, right? You need each and every flavor. I don't want it to melt together. You know, my daughter likes to use the crayon set, and if she only has 5 colors, she's limited to the picture she can make, right? But when you get the 64 set or the 128 set, the more colors you bring to the table, the better the picture can be, right? The more shadows and shades and the vibrant of it, right? So each personality is that flavor, is that spice. Sometimes you need a little more cayenne pepper. Sometimes you need a little garlic salt. But all of that ultimately brings in the flavors that we taste and the experience that the customers have when they walk in, right? That's that aroma is what we smell. So I had bought a set. And it said the onion salt was missing. And she's like, well, it's only worth $3. And it made me think something. She's like, it's $3 less because the onion was missing from these spices. And I said, man, what does one missing spice mean to an organization, right? In the store, it was only $3 for that missing spice. But when you don't have all the pieces, then the flavor's missing. And if I'm someone who uses onion salt, my food's not going to taste right. So that onion salt might be worth way more to me. You have to think of your organization the same way. If you only have salt and pepper, your food's going to taste a little bland, right? But when you have so much to choose from and you can spin that spice rack around and know that you're pulling from all these different flavors and bringing that taste, then everybody eats and we all enjoy it, right?
I want some gumbo.
Right? Oh, no, I got gumbo.
I could tell y'all ready to speak at the next event because you got some stuff. I'm just telling you, mic dropping left and right.
We're gonna be cooking too. That's
the passion that we're talking about. Yeah. That's the passion you have to bring every day. Your mind has to think. I love how you bring it because somebody there. I not only did I get an appetite for something good to eat, but I got an appetite of love, and I want to be part of this culture. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm so excited to be here right now, being part of this culture. We're sharing this culture. We're talking about this culture. We're talking about your culture. Mm-hmm. What kind of questions do you all have? If you guys got some, put them in the comments. We'd love to answer. But listen, we got some great stuff going here. I want some gumbo. I'm better than that. Wow, that's fire. What you got on that?
So gumbo is taking care of the hunger need, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that we want to make sure everybody is sipping on, eating on, chewing on. Get the chunks, get it all in, right? And everybody does enjoy their flavor wherever it is that they're from, right? It may, when you taste the gumbo, you know, if it's a chain, it may be different inside of New Mexico than it's going to be inside of Louisiana. You know what I mean? It's going to probably be a little different, right? Depending on the palate there. So for everybody that's out there, whether we're having Car Guy coffee or we're making up some good gumbo right here at the store, right? We want to make sure that there's something that you have to chew on. And that's why we're here to have a solution session, right? To discuss what it is that you can take from this and apply it to your recipe of how you do business, because there's a lot of mix to that. And when we're talking about finding the solution, we have people that have been sought after across the country to be brought in.
40 under 40 automotive news. We got two of them in the house. I'm just saying.
They find each other. Those sounds find each other from across the globe. And it's incredible. And it's magical. And it's cooking up some good stuff. But the solution that you all had when you were where you were a couple of years ago to the solutions that you have now, what is it that keeps you being solution focused? So when saying that, your culture being solution focused is consistently doing that, right? You've grafted in somebody with a totally different lens cap, you know, on her eyes, right? To see what it is that she sees. Same with you, right? You're pulling other people in to make your departments absolutely incredible. Why is it so important? I mean, we have so many values that they have ingrained in them. Why is it so important, like, that you stay this continuous learning, this innovation and continuous learning part that is on their values? That's a part because a salesperson and a tech especially has to consistently be fusing together something better. And in sales, we can use the same old wrench too much. You know what I mean? And that doesn't work inside of in the service department, right? Eventually, that's got to be changed out. So why is it so important that we stay solution centered at what it is that we're looking to happen?
I mean, it sounds very cliche, but I mean, you're only as good as your last game. Mm-hmm. So just what we did on Tuesday, we got to up that game on Thursday. Mm-hmm. If we came through for one of our employees on Tuesday, guess what? They're going to expect that on Thursday too. So we always have to keep that right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something that you can get off track on. You know, if you're having, like Erica said, if you're getting your teeth kicked in one day and, you know, you're just absolutely just not having a great day, guess what? You still need to be on stage with your employees. And we work for them. We work for our employees. If we work for our employees, they're going to absolutely work for us. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street. And that is something that we can never lose sight of. And I've always, you know, beat the drum on that, that, you know, I've told, and Ashley does this and her mom does this, but I told them years ago, I said, going back and asking a technician how their weekend was is damn near as well as giving them a $100 bill, because they want to hear from them. And that is just good maintenance right there. You know, a lot of the dealer principals don't get into the back end. Not the case here. Not the case here. And so, you know, that is how we maintain that, how we continue to improve upon that is consistently, you know, kind of replay our game and make sure we're still doing it, you know, because it's easy to get off track.
It is true.
And man, I think you guys hit it on the head. Your clubhouse room, everything that you've been talking about since, you know, we've been chatting, is the biggest room is the room for improvement, right? You know, in this business, I've been in it 20 years now, and I still don't know everything, right? There are a million things in the dealership that we can learn, that we can get better at, and everything is really on a scale. Even if we improve to here, we can still get better. We're in a business where we get told no more than we get told yes. We're always going to have that room for improvement, right?
Yes.
And so we've got to normalize in the car business. And I think that this is a big one, especially for you GMs and DPs listening, is we have to normalize saying, I don't know. We operate in the car business where everyone kind of wants to have this macho attitude of that they already know everything and that's how they're going to get promoted. What I look for is I look for the person that puts their hand up and says, you know what, Ashley, teach me this. Or can you find me someone who's an expert here? Or can you give me some resources of how to lead millennial employees? Or when you have your parts manager come to you and say, I'm getting ready to be leading my first female employee ever. Can we have a conversation about that?
Right.
Instead of having that closed off mentality of everyone just has to know what they're doing. Because when we do that, we break down the lines of communication and we really miss out on where we can move that needle, because one of two things happens. Either we ignore it or we get in conversations that are contentious, right? Because our managers, our employees think that we're being hard on them or we're not satisfied with what they're doing, when in reality, that's not the case. We're proud of what they did last month. We just want to know how we can move the needle this month, next year, 5 years from now.
Right. And there's a talk inside of the tension. That was incredible. I mean, I got to clap.
Powerful.
Yes. And there's a power that's inside of that tension. And there's a dance inside of that tension that keeps you connecting the two. We want to get something done, but we have to also tighten up where it is that it lacked, right? And staying inside of that, there's often, and anybody that's been in the car business for any amount of time, you know, there's the tension from the front of the house to the back of the house, right? And synergizing those two things. You've seen a thing or two, you've been around, you know, a dealership or two, seeing those cultures, right? And seeing that is something that getting the microphones, getting the conversations that you get to have, why is it so important to you that you show a culture that has synergized that tension that's between the two? Because there is that part of the business too, right? If these two tensions don't work out right, this isn't a thriving business. You have lopsided, right? And if there's division or division, right, we have two different eyesights. We're looking different directions. We're going in different directions, right? So synergizing that intention is what it is that you all are doing. What have you seen as far as the importance of that being inside of a culture in the differences that you've seen so far to now?
Well, I'll say this. I love you guys' as solutionaries. Word. I'm looking for the solutionaries t-shirt, you know, because I will wear that proudly.
Yes, yes.
And we got you.
This dealership does a great job. Even when Brian comes, I always feel like when Brian comes to talk to me, there's never any bad news, you know, because when he comes in, the way he sets the story up is that he's already come with a solution in mind so that the news is easier to, you know, be on my palate, because he breaks it down like, so remember that part that was supposed to be here today, right? I'm like, oh, Brian, recently. He's like, well, let me tell you this. It'll be here Friday, but here's what I have done. I've set the customer up with the loaner. I've already talked to them. They're going to be fine. We've already scheduled it. The client's happy. You're good to go. So I am never afraid of any news when Brian comes in, because he's solutions driven.
Yes.
And Ashley allows us to have the power and control to make good decisions, because she also is solutions driven. When I moved out here, there was a lot of things personally that I had to try to figure out, from childcare to, you know, my vehicles getting here to some handiwork around the house. And she says, let me make it easy. I don't have all the answers. You know, I don't know how to fix all these things, but let me put you in touch with people. Brian came over to do some handiwork at the house, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't even met this guy yet. So he's like, don't worry about it. I'm here, showed up with his belt, his tools, his drill. He's like, what do I need to fix? My service manager's in the house fixing things around the house on the first day, because solutions driven. Brought his guy. He said, hey, I can't do it all, but let me bring somebody I know who can help fix it. That is how our team works.
That's
and you come
amazing.
To work with a sense of confidence, because you never feel like there's not anything you can't tackle. Because to her point, even if I don't know, I can ask somebody. I can go to my GM, my service manager, my dealer principal and say, I don't know exactly how to fix this, but I know that we're a solutions-based team and you're going to help me figure it out. And together we're going to find those answers.
Wow. We have solutions all day on that. We're going to talk about solution session. We are in the middle of the solution session. We're going to talk about solutions. That's what I mean. Like, we always want to percolate problems, and that's the problem with the average car guy, car gal out there. A percolating problem, oh, man, there's not enough traffic. My culture sucks. My manager won't take a turn. My this or that. You know, how about we find solutions? How about, hey, my manager won't take a turn, but, hey, would you help me? I know that we can get together as a team. We all can work together. Let's make this where the managers feel bad they're not taking turns because we're all taking turns for each other. We have to be solutionaries. Don't just talk about problems. Brew solutions, right? And we don't like to do that. That's what we like to do is brew solutions. We're brewing them right now, and I love this. This love in this room is amazing. I'm just saying, like, culture is huge. This is all culture. Everything here. Being transparent with each other. Not just coming in there being negative, but I love that. She knows she doesn't have to get that, oh, he's in my office. It's the, okay, there's something going to be telling, but he's going to have a solution, not just for me, but for our clients. At the end of the day, that's the most important. We're not open. The doors are closed without them. So being able to have a solution for the client up front, knowing that everything is good, the clients know we're being transparent. Hey, listen, this is what's going on. It'll be Friday. Apologize for the wait, but we have this opportunity for you to be able to have a loaner, the drive. Whatever it is, give them something. Let them know you care, that you're there. You're not ignoring their phone call. It makes a huge difference. And that works with your people at the dealership, but it starts with everything you do. It can't just be just your people. It has to be your customers. It has to be your management. It has to be everything. The whole vibe has to be about that solutionary, that mindset. And I love that. And that's what's going on.
And that's not something that you got by accident. You kind of, there's a Southern term. I've heard it a lot. It's she got it honestly. Right. She got that honestly. Right. It just naturally came in. You're a legacy dealer that is now fused together with the knowledge of today. What is happening? What is cooking and booking inside of the industry right now with all of the lessons that have come from years and years of seeing it done right, seeing it done wrong. Right. So getting that recipe down means that you've seen it on the table a time or two and it hasn't maybe always been delicious. You know what I mean? But you're figuring out how to cook it up your way. What would you say for general managers, owners, operators? What would you say for them as far as when they're looking at what it's going to take to get their engine running on all pistons, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say to be looking for when they're looking for somebody to balance that service director role and somebody to balance that infuser of the culture, you know, mode? I mean, the training role is teaching everybody how to basically play their instrument the way that it's in tune with the song of the dealership, right? Mm-hmm. And so inside of that role, you know, that it's got to be trained all the way across the board. Mm-hmm. What would you say for them out there listening, all those?
So I'll tell you the text message that I sent before I hired Erica or before I even knew who Erica was to go after her. I sent a text message and in it, it said, when I fill this role, I want to fill this role with someone who understands why the why is important. Mm-hmm. You know, Simon, you know, that book, you know, always start with why. You know, being able to have people on your team who can communicate that to their team so that they can really buy in and believe. And, you know, earlier you talked about, you know, legacy. You know, my grandfather started selling cars in the 1960s. He had customers at his dealership in Vincennes, Indiana that still buy and service their cars here in Southern Illinois today. And I think that that's one thing that we really miss. And I think that it's one thing that a lot of DPs miss in hiring their GM. And frankly, I probably wouldn't be a GM in a lot of stores because of this. I manage from a long-term perspective. I am worried about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. And when you manage from that mentality, you have a different focus in your day-to-day. You have a different focus on the financial statement. You have a different focus when service is bringing you a problem with sales from someone who bought a car 2 months ago, even though they didn't buy a service contract and we offered them and they signed that decline form. You know, we really have to recognize, you know, as a team and within our leadership team, that acquiring a new customer costs us money.
Heck yeah.
You know, I'm not just a bleeding heart, right? At the end of the day, I believe that the right thing is generally the most profitable thing. And we have to have people on our team who believe in the long-term mentality, who will sometimes say, you know what, we're going to take care of the customer today, and it might cost me on my paycheck this month, but I know that I'm going to see the return in the future. I know they're going to send me referrals. I know their husband's going to be here to buy his next car. I know that they're going to be back as repeat customers, and I know that they're going to stay in my service department. And I think that this is a really critical piece, not just in terms of the customer experience, but also in terms of us being able to retain our teams. Because at the end of the day, you can be the best salesperson in the world, but if you're working in the wrong dealership where service won't take care of their customers, where your sales managers won't allow you to take care of your customers and do the right thing, you're put in bad situations that you don't have control of. And I think that that's one thing that's really great here with our team. I really believe that no one goes home at night feeling like, man, I just don't sleep well, or I don't feel like what we're doing at work is the right thing, or I feel like we took advantage of someone today. Whenever you remove that, and whenever you have an entire team that's focused on the customer experience, you know, it makes the employees happier. It makes you have better retention. Yep. Well, heck yeah. And, you know, all those kind of things.
Huge. You know, having the same team that's working hard, the best candidates from those pools that we looked at, the ones with diversity in it, and we're trying to find the right candidate. We get them in there. We have that crew. They stay a long time because we have that culture of love. We do all the right things. We're doing stuff. You do some magical things. You've made changes to your policy here. You when it comes to having children as a woman in automotive, right? Having maternity time, having these types of things, being able to offer the ability to have your child here with you. Why not? Why not? They're not a disturbance. I promise you, they're the best closers in the building. I promise you. Experience that, but experience that love, that culture. When it's not awkward because it's normal, right? We talked about normalcy earlier, you know, and I love that. You said that I don't know needs to be normalized. And I do agree with that 100%. It's okay. The largest room in the world is the room for improvement. The fact that you would lie and say you do know when you don't is the problem. And I think the culture that we had was that we are A-type people. We want to be the best at what we do. Don't get me wrong. I'm the best closer on the planet. But I understand I can get better, and that's why I am going to be the best. And I'm going to keep being better, and I'm going to keep learning things. I'm going to have conversations, learn something from you. Maybe learn something from you, right? But, you know, but we're going to have these conversations. That's where growth is. Good leadership comes. And leadership is so big, you know, finding the right leaders, putting that together, having the right ingredients, being able to share that with your people and share what you have, but also know that everyone that you're pouring into is different. Being able to have that culture of I got to make not exceptions, but I got to make sure that there's gray area because everyone is going to be different. Some people are motivated completely different. Some by money, some by time off, right? Some people will take less money for time off. Some people will take less commission for more guarantee. It just comes down to which person and how do we motivate them? What are some things that you all are doing here that are unique in that sense? I know I've had some great conversations about that, so I'm kind of bringing it up. But what would you say about that, Erica? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, one thing that Ashley offers is pay plans that are unique to, especially what's going on with the industry right now, is being able to attract people to your point who say, I can't work on commission. When you think about bringing new diverse talent to the industry and people who maybe have never had a sales or 100% commission job, it is scary. It is nothing like your first month and not having a good feeling in your soul about how am I going to make a paycheck? How can you work like that? Right. And so when she said, hey, listen, I'm going to put a salary pay plan and a gross pay plan. Right. So I'm not going to cheat anybody out of. There's two sets. You want to go with gross? You're a seasoned salesperson. You know, you're going to be here you go. But if you're not and you want to be comfortable and you want some type of guarantee, here is a salary based pay plan where you have a guarantee every week and then riders based on the cars you sell and how many acquisitions and trades you bring in. Now we can bring someone in. I interviewed a lady the other day. She's a woman who's, you know, way more mature in her field of work. She's been working different places for her whole life. She says, you know what? I never thought about selling cars. I'm close to retirement, but I think I could do this. But she asks, well, what's the guarantee? And to be able to say, aha, I have a solution for you. Based on this pay plan, you can come in at a salary of this per week. Here's how it makes sense for you. And she said, you know what? This might work for me. That is a great conversation to have, to be able to bring a group of people in who look like my customer base, right? Mm-hmm. My employees should look like my customer base. To be able to offer flex time. One of the reasons why I came here, there is a million dealerships in Atlanta. In my zip code, in Atlanta is probably 6 different Volkswagen dealerships. So if I was just looking to go to another Volkswagen dealership, I could have crossed the street and in 15 minutes be at one. So the reason you drive 698 miles, to be exact, wasn't because of the pay plan. It was because of the benefits of the time off. Right. It's because I can see my children. It's because I can go to a football game and take the time. It's because I can go to NADA or Women in Automotive and she says, absolutely, here you go. What were the things that were important to me? And then how can I make a pay plan for my employees that gives what's important to them? Because while mine's customized for me, the parts person is customized for them. The service department is customized for them. So it's not a one place make fits all, but it's also not, well, that's not fair. Erica gets to do that. No, you want to go to a conference? Work something out for you too. That's leadership and mentality in a different way. And that's what's going to bring people from all over and make it one of the best places to work because it truly is.
Folks, that's what's going on right here. Best places to work. I'm telling you, if you're a superstar, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, throw it out there, but if you're a superstar out there, B-Dub, they all about it here in Marion. So make sure you reach out to them. This is great stuff. I mean, we are dropping fire. Now, for you, we had a great conversation, and I know that you're about that. You're about trying to find ways to motivate your team. You're looking for motivated people, too. I know that. You find ways. Like, if somebody had a baby on our, I would, you know, and that happened, which is so crazy. But that being said, what would you say to that point, like, about pay plans and how to be able to motivate people, making it different? It doesn't have to be the same. What do you think?
Well, I mean, what Erica just said, Ashley and myself just did that.
Yeah.
And it blew me away when she actually did that idea. But it worked. It worked well, actually.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. I've expanded my brain since I've been here. I thought that when I came here, there was the book was shut, man. And I pretty well had it all under. No. I've learned a lot of things here, you know, and I really never thought I would truly because I just thought I pretty well had it. Okay. But that's a good example of stretching, you know, and I had never seen that done. It worked well, saved an employee. And it just was fantastic.
It saved like the attitude of the employee. It did. Whether they stayed or not, let's say that they did stay, they would have just been upset because there was nothing even thought about. Like, you didn't care.
Yeah.
But instead, you found a solution. Maybe it seemed like maybe that's not quite a solution, but to them it was. It was a guarantee.
Exactly.
You know, when you can get a guarantee, you know, if I do this many hours, I'm going
to
get paid this much.
And there's still accountability that comes with that as well. Of course. You have to do that.
Accountability is what it's all that. Nothing is given to you.
But
listen, folks. You got to work to get everything you get. What you put in is what you will get back. I promise you.
Yeah.
So do that. Make sure you work. You ain't going to just get free go. This isn't happening, but you're right. No, it's great stuff. I mean, seriously.
And we're talking about coming to work, right? Ultimately, when we get connected, this is because of what we chose to do with the time that we're giving and exchange our dollars and cents for that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that too often, whether it's the front of the house, the back of the house, whatever part of the house you're reading the reports from, we measure so much of our success by units and gross hours, you know, what it is that we've generated in the outcome. But the measure of success is different for everybody, right? So many people value their time differently. So many people value the relationship of belonging. That's a big part. You've got to make sure it is in there, that everybody feels like they belong here. Part of it here, that they're owners here in a way, right? They're buyers into it, right? There is so much that's fused together that we are all of this brand, right? We are one. That's what happens in the military. They get together, they fuse together to become one, right? It happens with a good baseball team, basketball team, football team, right? They get fused together under a banner. It's almost secondary that their name is on the back. You know what I mean? It's almost secondary that they're counted as a number. Ultimately, everybody is working for that one board that's up there and that's competing, right, against the other. We're on that board. We're going to make that happen together.
Yep.
And you developed pay plans accordingly that make sure that everybody understands they're a valuable part of this entire synchronization of an incredible musical happening inside of the helping a customer have an experience, right? That how different is that for the car business? I mean, again, you've seen some stuff, right? We've seen some things.
And to your point, we're in an industry that is changing, right? Yes. We're in an industry that because of what's happening with the pandemic, we're having to make different moves. So if your pay plans aren't adjusting and changing to the times, we knew we needed to get more cars. So we had to look at our pay plan and say, how are we telling people that they have a minimum mark when we don't even have that many cars on the lot, right? Like, come on, guys, let's think about it differently. So we changed the pay plan and made it heavy on paying people to acquire cars. Whether that was through our buyback centers or whether it was from personal acquisitions that people knew from their friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
So now we give them an incentive to do what we need in the dealership because we want the result. right? So we change the behavior by changing the result. Mm-hmm. But again, that's an open-minded and thinking differently and say, hey, we're in a different time. We have a problem. What's the solution? Mm-hmm. And how do we get our salespeople's behavior to mirror the solution we want? Sure. But we got to reward them in a way that makes sense for them. Well, not necessarily just the dealership. When they win, we
true.
Win.
It's true.
Yeah.
You reward for activities that you want them to do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the point. You know, people won't get motivated that way. I get motivated that way. But at the core of it all is because you want to make sure that the activities of the day are towards the mission that we're on, right? We're trying to go somewhere. We need to make sure that they understand that on a daily and make sure that they're accountable. We're back to that. Accountability is huge, folks. Now, accountability is love. I want people to know that. I wish, just like that word, I want to not normalize, but I want to make the word accountability more of a love feeling in your heart. So when you hear accountability, don't go, I don't want that. You want that. The biggest gift I've ever had in my life was accountability. It was called getting married, right? And when I did, it changed me up. I became a different person, and I'm blessed that that happened to me. Accountability, when I started my business with my brother Lou right here, if I didn't have it, I would not be where I'm at right now. I have somebody that depends on me, and I know he depends on me also, and I depend on him. And it's important that we have that, but we have that amongst each other in a group. When you have, it's that saying I talk about, one, what Lou says all the time, one can raise 1,000.
That's the Bible.
The Bible says. Right? The Bible says, I'm sorry, the good word says that. One can raise 1,000, two can do 10,000. And what the craziest thing is, it's true. Now, when you multiply that by all that God math, and you put together a team of 20, 30 people that are just on that same mission, pounding that same pavement as hard as they can at the same time, it's unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Culture will change. People will hear it, and it will be shown to the world, and it needs to be, and that's what's going on. I'm so glad that we got to show them to the world today. So, Greg, you guys got some closing statements you guys want to say before we get out of here today?
Gosh, there's so much. I mean, we could keep talking for hours, right?
Oh, yeah, this is a good subject.
You know, to me, culture is a feeling, right? It's the feeling that, you know, a customer and an employee get when they come in the building. And, you know, a lot of people have really great reviews, right? Those 5-star reviews, 5-star ratings. But what really impacts me is when I see a review from a customer that talks about the feeling that they had from the moment that they came through the front doors, right? They don't just say that we were the best price or that we had the best inventory or that our facility was nice. When they write those words, they write them about the people that are inside the dealership, right? And you know, like Erica said earlier, we all have good days and bad days, right? But the collective, whenever you have a group of people that's moving in that direction and they're all like-minded, we have those people to bring you up when you're having a bad day instead of bringing you down. And there's too many things happening on the sales floors and in, you know, dealerships where you have a bad day and the group of people around you does nothing to help bring you up. Yeah. They bring you down, right? And so I think that that's just really key. And, you know, focusing on that feeling that you have when you walk in the showroom floor, and it's not easy and it doesn't happen overnight. And it happens, you know, you don't just walk in and wave a magic wand and change your culture, right? You know, it sounds easy, but it's big and it has so many layers. Everything that we've talked about today, from pay plans to hiring to customer service to the value of a customer, I mean, it just really all comes together in the end.
Yeah. And the core value of that is the teamwork. And she is about that. And mm-hmm. you have incredible team builders right here. Mm-hmm. And so asking the team builders before we move on, because again, you're taking her core, right? This legacy that's brought
I mean, I,
and you're building this team together.
I mean, I got to say, Erica said something earlier that, you know, right on that point was the culture of a dealership is its personality.
Yeah.
Fact. So if your culture is great, the personality is great, how do people walk in and feel? They feel great. The reviews are amazing. You know, I didn't mean to touch on that, but I was thinking about this when she says, like, man, that quote,
right?
Like, I'm going to be posting about that one later, right? But no, you guys are like, really dropping the dime.
Personality gets put on, right? Eventually, the personality gets put on the jersey, right? Eventually, everybody gets the chance to have their engraving put on side onto the team's flow, right? And as that gets fused together, we get to see some great glory moments where at the end, we're still coming together to celebrate the victories. Mm. We're so much stronger when we actually deal with some of the defeats or the crazy things that happen in the market or the what the are going on, you know what I mean? Because those storms come, but we come together, we stay close, we build a synergy that is working within the tension, right? And when that fuses together, the question is what are you looking for in a person to bring into the team? So when you're trying to find somebody, what do You need to find
more of us.
Solutionaries, that's right.
More of
attitude
us.
Attitude trumps talent, right? You're always saying that.
Absolutely. It does. It does. But one thing I want to say is, you know, we're talking about the culture and the positive vibe, and that's all definitely here. The byproduct of that and the win that we get when we have that going on within this building, it's not a dirty word. We're going to sell more stuff.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Say great word.
We're going to sell more. We're going to sell more cars, yes. New and used. We're going to sell more service.
Come on.
No doubt about it. Than if it was a melting pot of horribleness. Right. Okay. And it's and a bad gumbo. It'd be bad gumbo.
Nobody wants bad gumbo.
But seriously, that is something that's important because we are in a small community here. I mean, I don't know, 80, 90,000, 100,000 people, all these towns put together, but that's a small community versus what, you know, larger metro areas. And the old saying goes, in a metro area, you know, you can just push them through, man, because you got so many more coming in. Not the case here. Not the case here. So we love everyone that talks through the door. We value their attendance, and we are thankful that they're here. And when they come in and they see all of what's going on in here, I can promise you that if it was negative or if it was a bad vibe in the air, they would know that.
It was a crappy personality.
Yeah.
It'd be over.
But when they act like, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're at work, but, you know, we're kind of having a decent time here, you know.
Yeah,
I'm promising you that goes tenfold to the customer's attitude as well. And so that's a huge part of the results, you know, the positive results that get carried out that door. And then they go out and they tell people, hey, you know what? Pretty nice place to deal with,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
And Ashley's comment about, I mean, some of the decisions she's made to take care of customers, once again, brought me out of my little area that I was always in, because I was brought up thinking, hey, man, if they sign that waiver, by God, and we gave them a chance to protect that car, and they pass pretty well on their own, she makes good decisions in that regard, because it is so hard to acquire a customer. It does cost thousands of dollars. So there's a whole different mindset here. And again, the win is selling more stuff.
Yes, that's it.
Selling more stuff.
Problems, brother. And you're doing a great job with it. It's great that you're being adaptable. That's a huge core value of the Solutionaries, being adaptable.
Yeah.
But we have to be consistent with it. It can't just be adaptable once. We got to always be available to be adaptable. Mm-hmm. So we think about that.
Erica. Hey, my favorite quote is people are the new currency. Right?
Oh, yes.
I really believe that. People are into crypto and NFTs. But a person is the true non-fungible token, right? Because you can't duplicate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But an investment you make in someone today, you think about some of your closest friends and the relationships that you've built over the years with people, right? You can't pay for that, right? You can't pay for those people. There's an advisor now who started off as a salesperson. The belief he has in this company, because he tells me stories from when he was a salesperson and the longevity he's had with the organization and to move to the department that he is now, is just, you can't take that loyalty and develop it overnight. You know, it comes from a sense that someone's been pouring into him for years. And that investment now is being able to have a residual effect on all the people here because they invested that time back then. Same thing with the technicians who've been here 10, 15, 20 years. They have employees that are their day ones. Like, hey, these guys were here since day one. You can't pay for that. You know what? Dealerships would love to have it. And at the same time, we don't have to worry about them going anywhere else, right? Because the investment was already there, you know? And now the reward of that is we're being able to all take advantage of reap that benefit, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. People are the new currency, my friends. They actually always been the currency.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we need to talk about it now. So it is now. Let's talk about that. I love that.
I love that you brought that up. That's so powerful.
That's inside of you that for you to pour into somebody, right? You have to be selective of that too, right? And you are selective of that. As you choose these that you're pouring into, you know, so the question would really be, what inside of a vessel is it that you're wanting to see, or others that are in your position, right, need to see, that are going to be the ones that are going to harness what you pour in, because it's valuable. Somebody getting trained by you is a whole other level kind of training, right? Somebody getting somebody to want to help make sure that you're educated enough to go to the next level wherever in the world you want to work, right? You're investing in them, right? We make investments with currency, right? And you're making the investment with your currency because the value on you is a whole other level, right, Ashley? Right? We can ask other people to measure it this way, but you're valuable. How do you choose what cup you're going to use? I know when I open the cupboard, I'm like, dang it, which cup am I going to use, you know, today? But you, give me the big one, right? But one that's going to be, that's going to take this one that's going to fit inside of the maker, right? One that's going to be able to, you know, be okay as I go outside or travel with, right? What is it that you're looking for in a vessel to pour into?
I'm looking for people who are hungry, you know? People who are hungry and people who are passionate, everything else is coachable and trainable. As you said, the talent we can teach, but hungry people are always looking for more. Hungry people, I said, when there was times when I was literally physically hungry, and you remember at those times when you're on the edge of kind of starvation in a sense, and you're looking for a solution and an answer. What are you willing to do? Almost anything, right? To feed yourself, to feed your family, you're willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. And when you have people who are hungry, they come into the organization just, you know, you have to hold them back on your mark, get set, and they're just, what you want. People who are saying, boss, what do I need to do next? How do I learn more? Let me absorb. And they're just a sponge that just is never full. That's the people that we're looking for.
Love it. What about you over there? I mean, she said that great.
I mean, tough to follow. I know. I wouldn't even. I mean, you know, what she said.
Well, I mean, I go back to the, you know, my story about Evan. I mean, it's a great place to. It's a great place for a young guy or gal. And this is a little bit of the problem that we face these days because there are a lot of choices out there. But when you think about all of the car dealerships across the United States and how many people have made, you know, their living all these, you know, all their professional life at a car dealership. Me, for instance, Ashley, for instance, and Erica, for instance, it's a great place to have a career. And that's the number one, mission per se is to get that out there, you know, and I beat that drum every day, you know, and I've got all kinds of factual cliches in reference to, hey, come work for us because we'll make you a master certified technician and you're not going to have any student loan debt because we're going to pay for your college. That's a true statement. That's a true statement. You know, that is absolutely factual statement. And, you know, the ability to make great money and to have a place that you're appreciated at. And, you know, that's a big deal. So we're looking for hungry people. We're looking for hungry people that understand what they could have, you know. That is our mission to beat that drum and to consistently let them know that. And the great thing about what we have here is we have success stories. And then therefore, when we bring young people in, they see those success stories. And I'm very open about talking about the way I feel about why they should spend their career working in this, very open about it. I talk about it in service meetings, you know, and I use my son as a great example because he's got a 6-digit, student loan debt that he some way can't seem to get paid off. Okay. And if you come here again, we will basically take care of your college.
That's amazing. And that's so many ways of investing to your people.
Yeah.
You know, you want an opportunity to grow in automotive. You want to be a great technician and have opportunities to get the education, to get your master's, to get all those things that you need to be what you want. And not just because you know the skill, but also have the certifications to do that. So you can get paid the way you're supposed to get paid. They do that here. They want you here. Oh, man, do they. They don't want you to leave, but they understand if you do. They understand how, and he understands how important that is, that skill set, especially in today's market, is huge. You got to learn, folks. There's so much stuff to learn out there. So come get your education here.
So much education, so much knowledge that has been poured inside of this brew, and I want to keep this conversation going so much more. But this is a conversation for all of you that are listening, watching this, hearing this. This is a conversation, okay? This is taking views from different sides, different vantage points, okay? This is what we have to do inside of the industry right now. And it's key that we do take all those flavors, we mix it together, right? We get that gumbo ready for those that are hungry, right? For those that are really wanting to make a change. But then, like you did on your ad, on selecting people and opening a door for others, when you're having a true culture built, there's an evidence by a language. And sometimes we have to adjust our language, even if it's just the title. It can change how it is that somebody views what it is that they're going to invest in. Because when we say we're the best place to work, it's beyond just the best place to buy. It's beyond just the best place to sell. It's beyond just the best place to get your service work done or to get a deal on a car. It's beyond that. You've built a culture where it's the best place to work, especially if you're working on a car deal.
Man, right? And you built a culture that's the coolest personality on the block.
I'm just saying. It's all about that. Your culture is your personality. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's so true. Think about it that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. You want that personality. You talk about the people you hire. Do it all, but it starts from the top. Make that personality right.
That's right. So get that language together. We honor that you all have spent this time with us. Thank you so much. If you're watching this on the replay, share it around. Put a coffee cup emoji in there. But blow our guests up with as much love as you can.
Awesome they are.
Pour it out. They have given so much value.
Tell them.
Ask them. But we're going to go ahead and take off the same way that we took it in. And we're going to make sure that we forgive, focus, fly. And we keep growing, everybody. So on three,
all right,
let's get ready to do this and go have an incredible start to a February. One, two, three,
forgive, focus, fly, and keep growing.
Woo! Thank you, our culture. So rock your culture at the store. Love your culture. Let's go. See you guys soon.
Hey, guys.